The Tree Remembers by Rib 14. Read by Jax Longcoat, a Star Wars podfic. Tags include Leia Organa and Luke Skywalker, Bail Organa and Leia Organa. Content warnings for death and discussion of genocide. Nothing graphic, just emotional impact. A New Hope is a movie trying so hard not to be about grief. Present. Once everything is over, they catch their breath. The rebel base on Yavin 4 is alive with chatter, surviving pilots congratulating the new recruits and each other on their victory. A feeling of relief fills the space, light and bright and full of possibility. The rebellion has a future once more. They are right to celebrate, thinks Leia, who has made her way to a secluded spot in the corner after giving the proper congratulations and kudos and thank yous. They have served an undeniable blow to the Empire. Many systems will heed the call of rebellion with lessened fear. This is a win for the people of the galaxy. And yet, there's nothing you could have done. That's what she told the boy after he saw his mentor killed. And she meant it. There's no use dwelling on the past, imagining other ways things could have gone. There is only the future. That is always what she has believed. And yet, Leia takes a breath, in and out, trying to soothe the ache in her chest. It's gone. It can't just be gone. 10 years ago. Where are we going again? Leia asks her parents as they leave the palace together. They're sitting in the back of the royal corvette, Leia in the middle seat. Her mother is holding a tray of food in place on her lap, and her father is holding a card they all signed. Her father takes her hand and squeezes it. We're paying our respects to the Kallax family. They lost their son. Leia's eyes widen in recognition and she nods solemnly. He was killed by the Empire for saying bad things about it on the Holonet. Her mother sighs. We do not know that for sure, sweetheart. Yes, it could be a coincidence that he was arrested his second day on Coruscant, her father responds dryly, bitterness tempered by a decade under Imperial rule. There's no reason to scare her, Bail, her mother whispers over her head. Of course, Leia can hear her, and she's not scared. Well, maybe a little, but mostly she's angry. The Empire hurts people all over the galaxy, and when she grows up, she's going to fight it like her parents do. If she knows one thing, it's that. Her father squeezes her hand again. The most important thing, Leia, is that we're there for the family. No one should suffer loss alone. Leia nods. What should I say to them? You can say, I'm sorry for your loss, or he will be remembered, says her mother. Her father nods in agreement, then leans in to murmur in her ear, and don't mention the stormtrooper thing. It's not the time. I know, she shoots back, but that's the reason we don't want them here, right? One of many, yes. Well, if the Empire kills me, I think everyone should spend my funeral being mad at them for it. Her father looks at her with concern. You are too young to be thinking about that, sweetheart. He pauses, tilting his head, an ephemeral gleam in his eye. But the same goes for me. Her mother gives an exasperated sigh, looking out the window. We're almost there. Save the rebel talk for when we're home, all right? Leia nods, and so does her father. All right, they both say. Present. The boy from the Death Star, Luke, his name is Luke Skywalker, walks over to her. Hey, he says, grinning wide. She musters a slight smile. Hi. The grin falls and he furrows his brow. I'm sorry about your planet. Thank you, she responds, voice more unsure than she would like it to be. The ache is still there, digging deeper into her bones. She takes a deep breath in. If you wanted, I could... Luke pauses, thinking. Well, I was there. Han took us there, it's how we found you. She nods. And if you wanted to go, if you wanted to see it, I could take you. She purses her lips. I appreciate it, but... His eyes widen. No, I understand. I couldn't imagine what that's like. I know you've lost people too. He sighs. My aunt and uncle, and Ben. His eyes unfocus, like he's really taking it in for the first time. There's nothing left for me on Tatooine now. Leia scoffs, sympathetic. Welcome to the Rebellion. Thanks. He grins again, a little softer. I'm happy to be here. She cracks a grin back, and it feels a little more real than before. 8 years ago. There's been a death in the family. It's some great uncle who owns an orchard on the other side of the planet. Leia had only met him a couple of times. He was nice, even if he never remembered who she was. At the funeral, they plant a new tree on the family's estate. It's only a sapling now, but one day it will grow into a mighty alder. Every death brings new life, his daughter says to the crowd, after she finishes covering the roots with dirt. Not because it is natural, but because we come together and make it so. Leia's mother squeezes her hand. Leia doesn't think to squeeze back because she's too focused on the tree. One day, when she's much older, she'll come back here and it will be taller than her. It seems so impossible now, it's so small and thin and breakable. But one day, with time and with care, it will stand on its own. It's a nice metaphor. A simple one, easy to grab onto. This is what the Rebellion will be, she tells herself. With time and with care. We will build something that can stand on its own, too. Present. The pilots have a ceremony in remembrance of their fallen comrades. It's standard fare, with a new gravitas in the wake of such an outstanding victory. For the Rebellion, loss so often hangs heavy and thick in the air, born of failed missions, terrifying realizations, unspoken hopelessness in the face of the enemy. This time, though, there is the mercy of glory. Captain Antilles asked if she wanted to speak to the loss of Alderaan, but she declined. Maybe that was cowardly of her. She's supposed to be a leader. The remaining rebels of the operation that destroyed the Death Star are standing in a circle around a flickering bonfire in the Yavin jungle. The sky is growing darker, and the air is strangely quiet, like the creatures of Yavin know, too, that a solemn ceremony is underway. Luke says a few words about his friend Biggs, and it breaks Leia's heart, like it always does, to think about the death the Empire deals out. It used to hurt more, though. It's something you get used to, eventually. As a leader, you must learn to see the losses in numbers before it kills you. Numbers. Numbers. What was the population of Alderaan? Isn't that a number she should know, as princess? It's something like 2 billion, Leia remembers her mother saying once. For some reason, a gnawing in the pit of her stomach makes her wish she knew the exact figure. It feels like a failure that she doesn't. She must carry on their memory, every single one. She is no longer a girl, she is a vessel for an entire people. As Wedge names each fallen pilot, a surviving comrade steps forward to throw their old flight jacket onto the pyre. Their bodies and ships and most everything else they had in life are in thousands of pieces floating in space now, but at least there is one thing that can still be laid to rest. John Vander. The flames spark and dance, then steady again. 2 billion and 1, Leia can't help but think. Dex Tyri. The leather of the jackets char and burn away at the base of the fire. 2 billion and 2. Davish Krayl. The flames rise higher, like a flare signal. It's a good thing they're evacuating the base tomorrow. 2 billion and 3. They continue naming the dead, and the fire burns hotter and brighter, and Leia finds herself blocking out the noise and staring into the flame like it should give her some kind of answer, some kind of finality. It doesn't. It only begins to burn her eyes, and she forces herself to close them. The next thing she knows, Han is using a bucket of water to put out the fire, and the circle is dispersing. She takes a deep breath and begins the short walk back to the base. A moment, and Luke appears at her side. He's wearing Biggs' old jacket, who must have told Wedge to pass it on to his old friend if he didn't make it. Have you been to a lot of these? He asks. Yes. Do you get used to it? She sighs. No. A pause. Luke sighs. He runs a finger along the sleeve of his new jacket. I didn't even get to tell him about rescuing you or anything. He looks up at Leia, eyes wet. His voice is close to breaking. I was the only one on Tatooine he told about joining the rebellion. Did you know that? She shakes her head. He kicks a rock. 6 years ago. There's a story in old Alderaanian folklore about a girl who fell in love with a mountain. Every day she would pray to the sun to turn her into a tree so she could grow on the mountain forever. The sun, however, was also in love with the mountain and ignored her pleas. Then, one day, the mountain loved her back. The sun burned hot with jealousy, and the next time the girl prayed, he granted her wish. He turned her into a tree on the other side of the forest, so she could never go to the mountain again. The girl and the mountain were both heartbroken, and it rained for 7 days, blocking out the sun. Years went by, and the roots of the tree that was once a girl grew longer and entangled themselves with those of the other trees. She ceased to be a tree and began instead to be a forest. Then one day, one outstretched root from the forest that was once a tree that was once a girl reached the base of the mountain, and they could finally be together forever. Leia never liked that story much. It doesn't feel like a triumph to just barely touch the thing you love so dearly. It doesn't even seem like a very good wish in the first place. At 13 years old, she has never felt more sure that the story is a tragedy. She feels like that girl, trapped in a tangle of roots, suffocated by immobility, grasping for a way out. She wants to do more for the rebellion. There's an anger that never seems to leave her body anymore. She channels it into her tutoring, visits to Coruscant, shadowing her mother and father, learning about imperial politics, seizing every crumb of the secrets they deign to share with her. Soon, she will be a proper member of the rebellion. The thought invigorates her. The rebellion is moving forward now, of course, but it's so slow, so afraid to take chances. She could push it forward. She can see it in her mind. She refuses to wait for years just for roots to get all the way to the mountain. She will wage war on the sun itself. Present. Leia wakes up in the morning on the rebel base on Yavin 4. Before she even remembers why, she feels the emptiness in her body, like all her energy was drained out in the night. Then, she remembers. A planet-sized explosion as seen from afar plays behind her eyes, over and over, an involuntary reminder of the millions of ghosts that now haunt her. Energy floods back into her body in the form of fury. It's not healthy, it's not stable, but it's all she has. She feels like she's made of the stuff, like she's a living powder keg in want of a spark. She climbs out of bed. The rebellion is leaving Yavin today. There is work to be done. 4 years ago, Leia takes a deep breath and looks at herself in the mirror. I am a legislative aide of the Senator of Alderaan on a diplomatic mission to Dantooine. Not quite right. Her eyes aren't convincing enough. She still looks scared. I am a legislative aide of the Senator of Alderaan on a diplomatic mission to Dantooine. Too formal, too practiced. It can't look like she has a reason to be pretending. I am a legislative aide of the Senator of Alderaan on a diplomatic mission to Dantooine. Good enough. It's not totally a lie, anyways. It's just that the diplomatic part of her mission is meeting with the rebels building a base there. She goes over the parameters of her mission in her head. Take note of Imperial presence in the system and its vulnerabilities. Meet the people in charge and assure them that Alderaan will be a staunch ally. Find out what supplies are most needed to ensure the security and longevity of a base here. Learn as much as you can about what the rebellion looks like beyond Alderaan and Coruscant. The first three are easy enough to fulfill for her father. The last one is her own addition. First, there is little Imperial presence here. This isn't a surprise, considering it's the reason the planet was chosen in the first place. She's stopped by an arrestor cruiser a system over, but easily makes it past with her official Alderaanian ID. However, in the future, it might be easier for more suspicious ships to go the long way around. Second, the leaders of the base are very kind. Her home has already been funding and supplying their efforts, and they are all too happy to show her around. Third, There is much work to be done. It doesn't even seem like they've decided what the base will be yet. Some think it should be a long-term headquarters, some a temporary gathering place, others a storage unit. Some think it's a waste to be so far from the core at all. Others see the Outer Rim as the Rebellion's best shot for building a foundation. They're in need of a lot. Ships, food, building materials, security measures, helping hands. Leia assures them that her parents and their allies will do everything they can to secure them. Despite the infighting and the scarcity of resources, there's something exhilarating about it here. There are no pretenses, like there always must be in the core worlds. No hushed tones, no false smiles, no sideways glances at radical claims. Everyone understands the war that must be waged and is committed to it. She watches leaders give orders, discuss plans, argue strategies. It feels real. This is the rebellion. This is what all that sly politicking and secret recruiting and radical dreaming has been leading up to. This is the beginning of the future. Leia decides from the moment she steps foot on Dantooine's forest surface that this is where she wants to be. This is the role she will play in the rebellion. Present. Leia arrives at the command center to find it already busy with people. Equipment and keepsakes are being stuffed into boxes. Boxes are being packed into carriers. Carriers are being given final maintenance and calibration by their pilots. A few see her come in and wave. She surveys the site with a sort of pride. This is the rebellion she had imagined she would be leading one day, ever since she saw the base on Dantooine. They've made so much progress since she was a child. Despite everything, she at least has that. Well, Princess, I'm off. A hand claps Leia's shoulder and she jolts, spinning around on instinct to face the perpetrator with a glare. Her eyes meet Han Solo's as he puts his hands up in surrender. She scoffs. I'm surprised you didn't leave in the night. He raises his eyebrows in carefully curated disbelief. You don't really want me to go. I don't care what you do, Han Solo. He purses his lips, looking down, like he's remembered an old joke. Just the way I like it. Leia sighs. Mercenaries. She's worked with them before. They are, perhaps unfortunately, a necessity for the cause. But of course, this one thinks he's special. No parting words? I did save your life, you know. Leia manages to take a breath and put on a diplomatic smile. And you were rewarded for your heroic act. Acts? Plural. She rolls her eyes. Of course. Now if you'll excuse me, I have a rebellion to command. Wait. He grabs her arm and she tenses. His smirk disappears, perhaps for the first time in his life, and his expression shifts into something close to sympathetic. You've gone through a lot the past few days. She pulls her arm away. You couldn't possibly understand. No, I couldn't. Do you have a point, Solo? He scrunches his face in thought, then shakes his head. No. A pause. I just think it's impressive what you do. She moves to turn away. I appreciate it. It's easy to be the guy who makes the hero shot and walks away. It's hard to do this stuff every day. Leia looks back up at him with an unsmiling stare. If you're ever looking for a challenge, then, the rebellion needs all the help we can get. He cracks a smirk once again. I'll keep that in mind. See ya, princess. 2 years ago. The Imperial Senate is a waste of time. Leia has never felt more restless or useless in her life than when she is sitting in her Senate pod, listening to the Emperor's lackeys spout fear-mongering nonsense, able to do little else but watch. At this point, she tries her best not to pay attention, working on her own legislative goals instead. But sometimes, she can't help but listen and seethe, however pointlessly. We are spending all our naval resources on the Outer Rim, says some stuck-up Imperial sycophant, when there are rebellious elements in our own core planets. Leia doubts that anyone would notice if she rolled her eyes, but she resists the urge regardless. We know that the crime waves on Alderaan and Corellia are caused at least in part by radical anti-imperial activists, and yet we have taken precious little action against them due to the false belief that their individual planetary governments have it under control. But I ask, did we not once say that about the Morlana system, the Lothal system, and so many others only a few years ago? Is it not more reasonable and prudent for the Empire to take a larger role in the policing of the Imperial Corps? Against her better judgment, Leia presses the button that activates her speaker. There is no crime wave on Alderaan, Senator Brandall. Ask any of my constituents and they will assure you the only crime taking place on their home planet is the further allocation of stormtroopers there. The senator hesitates, then his eyes move to her pod. Well, Miss Organa, perhaps you don't think of them as crimes, but most of us here are not rebels. The Senate goes silent, and Leia's fist clenches. No response? Perhaps I hit closer to home than I expected. There have been rumors. She takes a shaky breath. I am simply trying to stop the rebels of the galaxy from furthering their militarization, something it seems you are eager to encourage, Senator. He chuckles. The Imperial Navy is strong enough to handle whatever the rebels care to throw at us, I assure you. Leia takes her hand off the button, anger and fear pulsing through her veins. Well, now that we've established that, let's move on to the crux of my proposal. Leia decides at this point to put her head in her hands and mute the senatorial proceedings. Present. Hey. Wedge approaches her with sympathetic eyes. How are you doing? She shrugs. What is it that you always say? Oppression is the mask of fear? She nods. Nemec. I've never been much for books myself. She cracks a grin. It's somewhat outdated now, but there's something that's always captivated me about pre-Aldani literature. Wedge nods. It was a different world then. She nods back, remembering the first time she listened to Nemec's manifesto, given to her by her father. I was a child. And I was a TIE pilot. And Alderaan was still here. He sighs. I'm so sorry, Leia. She blinks away the tears, not meeting Wedge's eyes. She thinks of a time even longer ago, a promise she made to herself in an orchard. Every death brings new life, because we come together and demand it. Is that Nemec too? She shakes her head. He looks down and takes a step back. I should get to my ship. Of course. I'll see you on Hoth. He smiles and salutes, then walks to join his squad. 2 days ago. Leia is sitting at the holo projector of her ship when she receives a call from her father. Strange. She was under the impression that he was on Yavin 4, and he would never risk transmitting so openly from such a vital rebel base. She answers the call and he looks scared. Well, he looks like he's trying very hard to not look like he's scared, which is terrifying. Leia, what's wrong? He sighs. How far are you from the Abron sector? We could be there within the hour, I'm sure. She furrows her brow. Why? What's going on? I can't give details, but I need you to retrieve an information disk from a ship leaving Scarif. It's vitally important for the survival of the rebellion. Leia swallows, nerves rising up in her chest. I understand. Bring it to me if you can. Back home, to the palace. We can't have the Empire chasing you to a base. Of course. It will be a diplomatic mission. He looks up in thought. In fact, with something so dangerous, we may need the help of an old ally. I've told you about my old acquaintance on Tatooine, haven't I? She nods. A pause, and she taps her comlink with the captain. There has been a change of plans. Please prepare the ship for a hyperspace jump to Abron. Her father is looking at her through the shaky hologram with pride. I trust you to make the right decisions in service of the cause, Senator Organa. She scoffs. Please. I was just telling Mon Mothma how proud I am of... Father, now is not the time for this. He grins. You're right, you're right. A pause, and his expression sombers again. Good luck. May the Force be with you. You too. She's about to end the call when a chill runs down her spine and stops her in her tracks. She feels, inexplicably, like something terrible is about to happen. She takes a deep breath. "Hey, Dad, I love you." He smiles warmly. "I love you too. I'll see you back home soon." 1 week later. The Rebellion arrives on Hoth. It's freezing and unlivable, and Leia is glad for it. Something else to think about, something new to plan for. She dives headfirst into the expansion of habitable domes on the planet. Luke dives headfirst into piloting. 1 month later. New recruits are coming to the Rebellion. Some surviving Alderaanians, some from other planets. All emboldened by the destruction of the Death Star. This is a fight to the death, and Leia has never been more determined that life will win. 2 months later. According to a scout report, the Empire has sent mining ships to the ruins of Alderaan. The Death Star obliterated almost everything on the planet's surface, of course, but apparently some precious metals, iron, nickel, silver, gold, have been found in large enough clusters to be worth extracting. Most of it is from the planet's core, but some, Leia was told, is likely the melted and reformed remains of her planet's infrastructure. Luke had offered to take her on that day, but she hadn't been ready then. And now it's too late. 6 months later. A pilot from Rogue Squadron managed to grab a credit-sized chunk of Alderaanian rock when they were in the system and gives it to Leia when they return to Hoth. She cries, right then and there, in front of her subordinate. The rock is gray with three tiny bands of gold encircling it in parallel lines. It's the most beautiful thing Leia has ever seen in her life. It's the most horrible and sickening thing Leia has ever seen in her life. She keeps it on her desk, hidden behind a picture of her and her parents when she was a girl. 1 year later. There's a knock on Leia's door. She hasn't come out of her room all day, so it isn't a surprise that someone eventually came to check on her. "Leia, it's me," says the voice of Luke Skywalker. "Is everything okay?" She sighs and stands up to open the door. Luke stands in the doorway with a sympathetic look. "I know it's been a year today." She shrugs. "According to the Empire, the Alderaanian year still has 3 weeks and 5 days left." He blinks. "Oh." She sighs. "But yes, it's been a year." "How are you doing?" She shrugs. "Is there anything I can do?" A pause. "Do you think we could plant a tree on Hoth?" He frowns. "I... She sighs, feeling the weight of history on her shoulders. "We could try, though, couldn't we?" Luke grins and raises his eyebrows. "We could try." He reaches a hand out and she takes it in hers. "Come on, Leia. Let's plant a tree." The end. Written work posted January 2023. Audio recorded May 2025. Thanks for listening.